السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. حضرت مفتي صاحب, please give further details with regard to female slaves in the time of نبي كريم صلى الله عليه وسلم.
وعليكم السلام ورحمة الله وبركاته. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. To understand slavery in Islam, so we should know, just read the Bible. Even today, you will find that in the time of David, meaning Nabi Dawood alayhi salam, in the time of Solomon, meaning and referring to Nabi Sulaiman alayhi salatu salam, they had 100 slaves. Some places you may find even more, and the word they use is concubines. That's a very derogatory term they use, but anyway, that you will find in the Bible and so forth. So, you know, they have so many different versions of the Bible that even the virgins get confused and they blow their fuses and so forth, because the jutlas and haramis and murderers don't have a single copy of the Torah that was revealed to Nabi Musa alayhi salam, and not a single rabbi in the entire world who knows it, the original Torah, that by heart, by memory. So all this what they quote is just conjecture. Similarly with the Pope and the pastors and priests, they don't have a single copy of the Injil, the Gospel, the Bible, that they can say 100%, you must remember, this is the book revealed, divine book and scripture revealed to Jesus, Nabi Isa alayhi salatu wasalam. And they don't have a single hafiz and so forth. We have millions of people by heart of the Quran Sharif, alhamdulillah, and it is 100% the same Quran Sharif that was revealed to Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So Islam brought about reform through the slave industry and so forth and so on. So Islam said that when we wage war, take now Hamas versus Jutlas and Houthis of, the word is Houthi, Alif Ba Ta Sa. Even ulama sometimes, because they're so influenced by the Western media, they say Houthi. It's not Houthi, it's not with the Ta, with the Te, it's with the Sa, with the Se. Who see, you must remember that. So sometimes we just listen to the Western media and the same nonsense they talk, we just vomit it out, you know. So therefore, always learn to use our Islamic terminology, not Gaza, Gaza. So always try and use that. Nevertheless, so let's take one side Hamas, Palestine, one side the Jutlas. So we know there's a war going on there, and the war goes on for plus minus 80 years now. So if the Muslims are victorious, this is in a true Islamic way. So what rights do they have? They got 5 options. Number 1, you kill them, totally permissible. Number 2 is you let them go free, that you give them freedom. فَإِمَّا مَنَّمْ بَعْدُ وَإِمَّا فِدَاءً. Third one, you take ransom from them. You tell them you must pay so much money, or you must give us so much land, or whatever it is. So that is the third. Fourth one, you make sulah, like the land story and so forth. And so. Then fourth, we can have mubadalatul usara, exchange of prisoners, irrespective of the numbers. We will give you 20, you must give us 100, you see. So that is permissible. The last one is istirqaq. Istirqaq means you take them and make them slaves and so forth. Today's Western world, when you speak of slaves, oh, you're a barbaric and so forth. I ask America these questions. What have you done to my brothers, sisters? You must remember in Iraq, you murdered over 1 million of them, and based on a lie. We ask American regime, George W. Bush and all of them, that my brothers are there in Guantanamo Bay till today. Where's the due process? You waterboarded them, you tortured them, you persecuted them. Where is the justice for my sister, Dr. Afia? So you are treating them worse than slaves. You must remember that. That's your America today. So you must remember that. That we need to name them, shame them, and nail them. As Israel, they can pick up any Palestinian. So they say administrative detention, how we had under apartheid here, under Foster and Wota and all these haramis, detention without trial. If you know anything of South African politics and so forth. So same thing. that hundreds and thousands of our Palestinians, men, women, children are in jail, and they are being tortured, persecuted. They can strip them, they can torture them, whatever. So in the West Bank, even now, they strip searching the Palestinians and the children. So that is your slavery, remember that. So Islam has a just system of slavery. And this is not just speech and talk. We show you practically. Mustafa Rahmatulil Alameen Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam liberated 63 slaves in his Mubarak Hayat Tayyiba, in his beautiful life, and to set the precedent for humanity and posterity. Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu anhu, when you study his profile, A'taqa alfa abdin wa atamara alfa marra wa hajja 60 marra. He performed 60 hajj. He performed 1,000 umrahs. He liberated, emancipated 1,000 slaves. One person. When you study Imam Bukhari's work, it's a pity today our darlooms, madrasas, they don't focus on this. So if you ask 3/4 of the students, they don't even know these things here. So you must remember that what is silsilatul zahab, the golden chain of the hadith transmission. So we ask Imam Bukhari, meaning his works and that we read. So Imam Bukhari, rahimahullah, said, Malik, Imam Malik. And Nafi, he reports from Nafi. Nafi reports from Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu anhu. And then Abdullah ibn Umar reports from him, Mustafa rahmatulil alameen sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Abdullah ibn Umar told Nafi, go, I emancipated you. Go. He said, I don't go. So what are you going to do? He said, I stay here. And he studied hadith. So much he studied, he became an expert in the field of hadith, the teaching, preaching of Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Imam Bukhari rahimahullah, the Amirul Mu'minin fil hadith, says that this chain of transmission is the best chain in the history of Islam. That is what Islam did. It took them out from slavery and made them shining lights. Sayyidina Bilal radiallahu anh, Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anh liberated him. He became the Muazzin of the Master sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He became Wazir Malihi, the Minister of Finance of the Master sallallahu alaihi wasallam. What are you doing? South Africa took Israel to the Israeli court, to the International Court of Justice. So that is your haram child, an illegitimate child, America and Britain. So now you can't stick it. How can South Africa, third world country, take Israel? So now you look for all excuses, bullying tactics and so forth. That is your economic slavery. That is your apartheid slavery. So that is what happens today. Tell these whiteys to go to hell. They are the most racist on this earth, and we know what is apartheid.
Mufti Saab, in a lecture, an alim is saying that the Quran has a specific relation with the number 19. Please confirm, Mufti Saab.
We don't accept that. You must remember this. So there was that one guy there in America, and he started all these things here about the number 19 and so forth. If you want to play the number game, so you will find what is one and not two, Allah Ta'ala. What is seven, the seven heavens and seven earth? What is nine, وَكَانَ فِي الْمَدِينَةِ تِسَةُ رَهْتِ. That in that town, there were nine mischief makers. 11, what is 11? أَحَدَ أَشَرَ كَوْكَبْ. We reject that alim must make a public apology. Such lectures are dhal and mudhil. You're leading people astray. So that chap there, when he couldn't come right, he said, no, that the 19 is right and Quran is wrong and so forth. Go read about 19. Hazrat Mohana Ahmad Sadiq Desai, he wrote a whole article against that, you must remember. We reject what that alim is saying, and we believe in the Quran Sharif. When you play number game, then you get caught up very badly. So that alim Kain and Mankan, he must apologize and tell the people what I said was wrong. At Tawbah to Mislul Hawba. We commit a sin in private, we have to make tawbah, repent in private. We commit a major sin in public or whatever, then we have to apologize in public as well. That is compulsory and mandatory.
Mufti Saab, if a student from Durban goes to Port Elizabeth to study medicine and is renting a flat there, which will be his home for the next couple of years of study, when he returns home for holidays, Does he make Qasar Salah or Full Salah?
My brother, you are from Durban, right? Let us say Durban Central, Overport, whatever, or North Coast, South Coast. And then you are studying in Cape Town, studying in PE, wherever, 1,000 kilometers away, plus minus whatever it is. So remember, when you are in Durban, you must read Full Salat. That is your Watana Asli, the place where you are born and bred, and you still stay there. And where you are studying, so there also you must read Full Salat. You understand? Because why? You made intention to stay there the whole academic year. Yes, you were traveling here and there in between. You went to East London, you went to Queenstown, you went to King Williamstown. So all that, then all those places, you are Musafir. If you want a proper academic discussion on this, remember Hazrat Mufti Rashid Ahmad Sahib, Rahimahullah, in Ahsanul Fatawa, has written a brilliant fatwa on this. He said that in a case like this, where the student, he goes every week home. Take that this brother here, he comes from a wealthy family. He flies home every week, every 2 weeks, and so forth and so on. So there, at his home in Durban, he will read Full Salat, even if he comes for half an hour, 15 minutes. Remember, there in PE, Cape Town, also he must read. Why? All his luggage, all his stuff, all his books, everything are there. He made intention to stay for the whole year. And so forth. So it's a wonderful fatwa. So read it. And therefore, both places you will read Full Salat. Yes, you're going to other places in between there and there. You will be Musafir and you will read Qasr Salat.
Mufti Sahab, is it permissible for one to pay for Umrah on their credit card? Financially, the only way possible to take the entire family is my buying on the credit card and paying on budget every month, which is possible. But am I unable to have a lump sum upfront?
Yeah, we need to ask three questions here. Is it compulsory to go for Umrah and to go for the whole family? Obviously, it's not compulsory. Most to most, Umrah is Sunnah. Second one is this credit card, this card, that card, whatever. If there's any interest that you have to pay, riba, sud, viaj, then that whole thing is haram and not permissible. The problem today, people are like sheep, you know, follow the Pied Piper. My neighbor went, my friend went, so I must go. So remember, whether I got debts, whether I got other responsibilities, no, I must go. The wife is insisting, the children are insisting. So if any interest is accrued, you have to pay it, and you have to pay to the bank ABC, XYZ, then that trip is haram, and you are mal'oon, you are cursed. Almighty Allah teaches us in the Noble Quran, chapter 2, Surah Baqarah, verse 279, فَإِلَّا مْتَفْعَلُوا If you don't abstain, giving, taking, and entering into a interest-related deal and transaction, then you're still continuing with it. You don't abstain and refrain. فَإِن لَمْ تَفْعَلُوا فَأَذَنُوا Be prepared. بِحَرْبٍ مِّنَ اللَّهِ وَرَسُولِهِ For a war against Almighty Allah Jalla Wala and Mustafa Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Chapter 2, verse 279. This wa'idun shadid, the severe warning mentioned in this verse, you will not find for any other crime in the entire Quran Sharif. Study the entire corpus of Hadith Sharif, the teaching, preaching of Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam, you will only find one place. Qala an-nabiyul Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the Master alayhi salam said, Qala Allahu azza wa jalla, Allah ta'ala says, Hadith Qudsi, Man aada li waliya, faqad aadhantuhu bil harb. Who harms my awliyaullah, my friend, special friends, then I, Allah, Jalla Wala, indeed wage war against them. Ask Ariel Sharon, the butcher, the war criminal, his family are still alive, that he martyred our leader of Hamas. Remember in 2004, Hamas started in 87 by Sheikh Ahmad Yasin, Rahimahullah, Nawwarallahu Marqadahu. He murdered and martyred him. And then after 3-4 weeks, remember within a month, he martyred Dr. Abdul Aziz Rantisi, the second leader. So what happened to Sharon? You must remember that, you see, 8 years sakarat, that is a punishment from Allah in this world, hereafter for everlasting Jahannam. I'm telling you now, I'm alive. Tomorrow be gone. Tomorrow means sometime in future. You watch what happens to Netanyahu. You watch what happens to Smotrich. You watch what happens to Ben-Gvir, the Harami war criminals. Watch what happens to Trump and so forth. Allahumma sallit alayhim kalban min kilabik ya Rabbal Alameen. This morning, tahajjud time, all you imams, for what are you waiting? You must remember that. Can't you read Kunut al-Nazila? Can't you go and speak about Palestine? We have freedom here. Take the name of the Jutlas. Take the name of the Arab rulers, the Murtas. Are you frightened for your visa and so forth? So I, 5 years now, exactly 5 years, I haven't been to the Haramain Sharifain. I have to go 3, 4, 5 times a year with Allah's help. But we can't silence because we want to go for Umrah and Hajj. Nay, that is not deen. Deen is, you must speak the truth, even though it's bitter. So we need to understand where our allegiance lies with. You must remember that. So the ulama have to also come to the table and speak the truth. We can't be now being subverting the truth and, you know, we want to play both sides. It doesn't work that way. So we need to do all these things here. And you watch what happens with these haramis, how they will die, inshallah. They will freak like a dog. That is the meaning of freak in Afrikaans. So we make dua. Allahumma sallit alayhim kalban min kilabik. Ya Allah, put your dogs upon them.
Of Kisab, if a woman gets a wet dream while fasting, does she have to beg ghusl?
In time of Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you open Mishkat Sharif, you open Tirmidhi, Mustad Ahmad, various compilations. So they asked Nabi alayhi salam about a lady. The other lady got a shock. She said, "Awa tahtalimul mar'a? Do women also get wet dreams? Is there something surprising?" Then they took her away. They said, "Hey, you know, embarrass us all, yes, or so forth. You have some light moments also, you know, because you're speaking about real life, what is happening." And in the presence, in the court of the master, Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, whenever this ihtilam, wet dream, ghusl is compulsory upon male and female. When your son is 12 years old, 13 years old, he gets a wet dream, so that means he's baligh and mature. Fasting is compulsory, 5 daily salat is compulsory, zakat is compulsory. According to Hanafi, Shafi, Maliki, Hanbali say it was always compulsory, even when he was a minor. But Hanafis will say now zakat also become compulsory if he has the nisab and he reaches the threshold. And remember 2 laws. We are in the month of Ramadan. Today South Africa, Southern Africa is 17th Ramadan, Yawm al-Furqan, the day of distinction, the day of criteria, the day of victory in the Battle of Badr. Allah grant Hamas, Houthis, everybody victory against America, Israel, and all these Arab tenpot dictators, haramis. So you must remember that you... That while fasting, you took a rest, you woke up and you saw a male or female. There's a wet dream, your fast is valid. Take a ghusl, but your fast is valid. But you went to go and masturbate, male or female, whilst you are fasting. So this is sinful, your fast is broken. You must make tawbah, and one qaza is compulsory, no kafara. So masturbating in Islam is haram, remember. Al-Imam Shafi'i, the genius, was asked, where is the dalil that it is not permissible? He quoted chapter 23, Surah Mu'minun, where Almighty Allah speaks about we must guard our chastity, guard our private. وَالَّذِينَ هُمْ لِفُرُوجِهِمْ حَافِظُونَ إِلَّا عَلَىٰ أَزْوَاجِهِمْ أَوْ مَا مَلَكَتْ أَيْمَانُهُمْ فَإِنَّهُمْ غَيْرُ مَلُومِينَ. Then Allah Ta'ala says, فَمَنِ ابْتَغَى وَرَاءَ ذَلِكَ, that you fulfill your lust and desires in some other way, DIY, do it yourself, you know, and not by your spouse, husband, wife, and so forth. فَأُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْعَادُونَ, they are the transgressors. Chapter 23, verse number 27, and his fatwa was, الْإِسْتِمْنَاءُ haram, masturbating is haram. So Imam Shafi was a genius, remember that. The beginning of the 18th Subara and verse number 7, chapter 23, verse number 7. So you should know there's a distinction between wet dream, that is ghair ikhtiyari, you did nothing, you just dreamt. One is masturbating, you busy the whole time, so that is sinful, and your fast will be broken, and make tawbah, and one qaza compulsory.
Of Kisab, if a non-Muslim girl embraces Islam, Can a non-Muslim family member be a witness to her nikah?
If she embraces Islam, we will give her the glad tidings, chapter 8, verse 38, provided that she or he who embraces Islam are sincere in their quest. Chapter 8, verse 38, قُلْ لِلَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا إِيَنْتَهُ يُخْفَرْ لَهُمْ مَا قَدْ سَلَفْ. All the vices, sins they committed against Almighty Allah Jalla Wala, so all that is forgiven. Mustafa رَحْمَةُ alameen صَلَّى اللَّهُ وَسَلَّمْ told Khalid bin Walid رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْ in the month of Safar, Safar with a sword, and suffer a journey, trap that is seen. So suffer and suffer make a difference between that. So in the month of Safar, and it was in the 8th year of the Hijrah, that he was so concerned, I prevented the victory for Muslims in the Battle of Uhud. I did not allow the Master alayhi salatu salam enter in the 6th year. So now to make eye contact with Mustafa sallallahu alayhi salam was difficult. But the Master alayhi salam was, each will always be the exclusive rahmatulil alameen sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the mercy to the entire universe. Told Khalid bin Walid, inna al-islam yahdimu ma kana qabla. Islam erases and expunges the sins of the past. Open Mishkat Sharif, Musnad Ahmad, various compilations. So now you embrace Islam. Now you're getting married to a Muslim. You can't get married to a non-Muslim. Now you want a non-Muslim witness? Totally not permissible. It must be Muslim witnesses, must be a Muslim person there. So remember, la nikaha illa bi waliyin. The girl, the lady must get permission from a guardian. The guardian must be Muslim. If the guardian is non-Muslim, then she must tell the imam and the person there that you be the my wali and my guardian. And the witnesses must be Muslim. La nikaha illa bi shuhudin. Open Muslim Ahmad Mishkat, various compilations. You must have witnesses as well, two male witnesses, or one male and two female witnesses. Then only will the nikah be valid, but not non-Muslims. They can never be qualified to be witness in a nikah. So we need to be very clear on all these issues.
Mufti Sahab, for Ramadan Umrah, can I perform tawaf after Maghrib Salah and delay Sa'i until after Taraweeh?
Yes, no problem. You make the people go and get busy with the iftar. So you found that a good opportunity. You want to perform the tawaf for your umrah between Maghrib and Isha, right? And then you will be drinking zamzam and so forth. And there are Isha and Taraweeh. So after the Taraweeh, the witr and so forth, then you perform sa'i. Permissible, there's no problem with that. So you can delay the sa'i for these type of reasons. But remember, all this time you are still in the state of ihram. And also remember all of you, and tell your friends and family who are there in the Haramain Sharifain. You see, today is Tuesday. There it's already the 18th. You must remember of Ramadan. Ba'as is 17th. Then Thursday will come. So Thursday will be the 20th fast. And then Thursday night will come, Laylatul Jumu'ah. So they will read 10 rakats Taraweeh. And then the imam will walk away. They don't announce anything. So then they don't read witr. From Thursday night, no witr after Taraweeh. So you must know all these things here. Then when will they read? So my friend, I contacted him. He said that Asa'atul Wahida. He said that he thinks most probably they haven't made announcement officially, but normally it's 1 o'clock Saudi time. So our time will be midnight here, South Africa. Then they are left Qiyamul Layl. And then they read 10 rakats again. And then they perform the witr salat after that, 2:30, quarter to 3, that around that time they normally. So remember, from Thursday night, there won't be witr after the Taraweeh, the 10 rakats. It will be after the second 10 rakats, the Qiyamul Layl. So that is how it will be. So sometimes people don't know what's happening because they don't make announcement. In the haram, they make announcement in the media. So you should know all these type of issues as well.
Mufti Sahab, landing in Taif airport from Doha, can one put on ihram in Taif?
That's an excellent move. This Qataria, the airline, I never ever sat in it, because every person who went with them told me the service is good and thus is good, but one problem. I said, what? They said they got boards there in the plane. You can't go and stand and read Salat and so forth. You must sit in your seat. So I said, if that's what they want, so why should I support them? So that's why I should travel with Emirates those days, you know. So every second, third, fourth month, we're busy going here, there, all that. So we still like it. Why? Because, you know, that time they had no ties with Israel and that. And then secondly, they used to allow us to read Salat. Emirates, as far as I know, and I traveled so many countries, they never ever prevented us from reading Salat standing. In fact, they will arrange for you, bring the blanket, show you Qibla, everything. Yes, if there's turbulence, then it's obvious. Or if they are serving meals. So we also must use our common sense. Therefore, I used to like it in those days. Nowadays, we must boycott them. So anyway, that's a good move, Qataria. You Qatar, excellent move that is. If I have to book a ticket now, and you know, if halat come better, that's an excellent move. So then we will encourage that. We will tell our South African agents, they should go that route. Book from Johannesburg to Qatar. You see, you land in Doha. Then you have a layover there, whatever. And then you book to Taif. You go in your normal clothes. Then book in a hotel one night day in Taif. And then you go visit Masjid Abdullah ibn Abbas, the biggest masjid. Abdullah ibn Abbas passed away in the year 68. And remember Muhammad bin Hanafiya, Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu's son, perform his Salatul Janaza. Then you go to Masjid Addas. Masjid Addas, when the Master alayhi salam went first time to Taif, and they pelted the Master alayhi salam, he was crying, begging Almighty Allah to give them hidayat. Then Addas came, gave water, grapes. He asked them, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asked him, from where are you? He said, Ninwa. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, my brother is there. Nabi Yunus alayhi salam, he knew that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is a Nabi. He kissed the Mubarak hands of the Master alayhi salam. So visit them, then go to Sail. Sail is a wonderful miqat there in Taif. I fasten ihram there. Wonderful facilities, fasten ihram there. Go perform your umrah. That's a good move, 100%. From here to Doha, Doha to Taif, you spend a night, go visit, then go to Sail, and mashallah, perform your umrah. Barakallah, fiqh, salim kareem. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.